you join me in just saying an amen to that? Would you say amen? Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hey, my name is Rick. I get the privilege, and I'm humbled to be able to say that I'm the lead pastor here. And I need you to bear with me. My voice is a little bit strange this morning. I don't normally sound like this, but if you can just bear with me. We're in this teaching series called Don't Waste Your Life. And hey, didn't our creative team do a great job on the clocks in the back and putting those things together? You know, and they did this because they want to remind us all, every one of these clocks remind us that we all, every person in here has this in common, the same amount of time. We all have 24 hours, 7 days a week, and it is our hope and it's my prayer that we will not waste our life, that because those hours turns into weeks and those weeks to months and those months to years. And so it matters how we use our time. And my prayer, that's why we're in this whole study about don't waste your life. And the bigger picture, if we could back up for a second, and we've said this, you know, we said this last week, but if we could back up, if you are a Christ follower, the bigger picture for you is this, and that is whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, we do it all for the glory of God. And our creative team spent a ton of time. There's a lot of detail in those clocks, but they did that. They took the gifts that God had given them, but they did it for His honor and for His glory. And in here, it doesn't matter, again, if you are the construction worker or if you are an office worker, God's called you to do that for His glory in whatever you do. And today, we're looking at this thought right here. Don't waste your life focused on what you can keep, but on what you can give away. Don't waste your life focused on what you can keep, but on what you can give away. When we hold on to things, sometimes physically, it can bring more hurt into our life. A couple of years ago, my son Jonathan, the one that helps lead the local outreach team here, he gives announcements sometimes. He's actually in Texas. Pray for him. He's there in Texas doing some army training, and so he'll be gone until mid-March. But when he was in high school, his boss had invited him out on the lake with him, one of his bosses, and took him out on the lake, and they pulled into a dock, and his boss asked him to jump off the boat but hold on to the rope. And the boss was still trying to maneuver the boat into the slip. And Jonathan, you know, because he's a guy and he's going to overpower the boat, you know, and he's kind of misunderstood. He's like doing everything he can to hold on to that rope, and he's holding on to the rope. But the boat owner is trying to pull the boat in and out, in and out. And as he's doing that, Jonathan is like, yeah, I can do this. And the rope keeps on ripping through his hands, and he continues. He won't let go. I mean, the guy is stubborn. He's holding on to this, but the rope keeps on slipping, and he holds on longer, and it slips. And every time it's doing that, it's ripping more and more of his flesh, literally off of his fingers. And when he texted us the pictures of his hands, it was nasty. I mean, when I tell you that his skin was missing, it was like third-degree burns because of what the rope did on his hands. And he had to get antibiotic ointment and put on there to help treat the infection. But you know what? This is so true in so many people's lives when we hold on to something that we're supposed to let go of, because it actually brings more hurt, more pain in our life. This is true in relationships so many times. High schoolers, please hear me on this. Our young adults, hear me on this. There are some relationships that you need to let go of. Some of you in here are single and you're in your 40s. There are some relationships that you need to let go of. You're trying to hold on to it, and it's actually bringing more hurt into your life. It's actually bringing more pain into you in your life because you're trying to hold on to it. And what God wants you to do is just give it away, give it over to Him, because you are trying to hold on to it. And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. Because I'm talking about, you know, you think you can fix them. You think you can fix that person. You can fix him or her. God maybe is calling you to let go of that. Just this week, I was having a conversation with somebody around this idea. And they were telling me how they were really trying to help somebody in their life. And then it got to the place over several months that they realized that they needed to back up. And they didn't even realize that, but when they backed up, they realized that this person kept on depending on them instead of depending on God. And they said to me, I was actually in the way of them getting connected to God because they kept on coming to me. So there are some relationships that you may need to let go of. You need to give that up and train them to hold on to it. Maybe for you, it's a job. Right? You know, your boss keeps on promising you, oh, the promotion's coming next month. Or, you know, and then that next month turns into 3 months and then 6 months. And then it's like a year has went by and you're like holding out, holding on to this when God just wants you to say, no, I'm just going to give it up. Because He's got something else for you. But you're holding on to that. Or, you know, sometimes when we're in sales, right? This is true. We keep on holding on for that payday. You know, we're thinking, hey, now it's going to come at the end of this week, baby. The payday's going to be here. I'm going to make the big sale this week. When maybe God is saying, well, you know, maybe you need to do something else. You need to maybe let go of that. For some people, it may be about hurt. Maybe you got hurt when you were in elementary school. Or high school, or maybe you just got hurt last week, and you're holding on to that. And as you hold on to it, it's like that rope. It continues to bring more hurt and more pain into your life because you won't let it go. God is calling you to give it away, not to hold on to it. And that's why we're focused on this idea of we've got to be focused on what we can give away and not just keep. And hey, if you're here today and you're not a Christ follower, this is still a biblical principle that you can apply to your life and that would be helpful to you. Because here, look at this. People remember what you gave away in a positive way, but what you kept in a negative. You think about the founder, J. Paul Getty, of the Getty Oil Company. I don't know if you saw that movie about all the money in the world. But here's this guy that had all the money in the world, right? And he kept it for himself. He kept it, and people are remembering him as this greedy guy that was holding on to his money for his own purposes, for his own power. But if you say Mother Teresa's name, man, people who don't even go to church, people who don't even like God will say, oh, well, they're like such a Mother Teresa, right? Why? Because Mother Teresa was known for giving away her life to the poorest of the poor. You see, people remember what you give away in a positive way, but what you hold on to, they're going to remember that in the negative. And I wonder, what kind of life are you living? Are you living a life that's generous in every area? You know, when we think about legacy, when we talk about legacy around here, this is what we're talking about. Because it's not about living a long time. It's not about longevity. It's about living a life of legacy. And that will bring more honor and glory to God. And that's why we're asking you today to really consider, are you focused on what you can give away instead of what you can keep? And that's exactly what we see in our passage here in 1 Kings chapter 17. So if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're going to, I'm going to ask Lindsay to come. She's going to come and read verses 8 through 16 for us this morning because I want us to hear this whole story. But I also want you to understand, if you missed last week, then maybe you don't remember that Elijah was sent by God to King Ahab to pronounce doom, to pronounce that there's a drought coming. And so he does that. Now he's on the run for his life. And God told him to go hide by Kereth Brook. But the brook dries up. And this is where we pick up the story.
Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a young widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? As she was going to get it, he called to her, "Bring me a bite of bread too." But she said, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of a jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." But Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make me a little bread first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again." So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah.
So this is our story, and now I want us to go back into that verse number 8 and 9, and I want us to unpack this for us. All right, so let's walk through this and let's see what God has here for us, right? Because when I was in my study this week, there's so much that was jumping out at me. I got so excited about this, and then I'm so mad because I'm like, I don't have a voice to say it, but here we go. It says, so God comes to Elijah and he tells him, he says to go to this village of Zarephath. So remember, know this, that this is where Jezebel, because King Ahab is in place, the queen is Jezebel. This is her land. This is where she's from. And this is a non-Jewish territory. So where he's at, God's calling him to go northeast about 80 miles. And there he's got to, because the brook dried up. Right, he's following God wherever he goes, but now the brook dries up, and now God says, you need to go here. And then notice this, that he says, I've instructed a widow there to feed you. Last week we saw how God uses the unusual, how he uses a raven or a bird, right, to feed his man. And now we see that he's instructed a widow. The very first people to be impacted by famine is going to be the widows, because these were like the poorest of the poor in this history, in this time in history. The widows were very desperate. And here God is again going to use the unlikely. And I'm just suggesting to you here today, you may think that you're the most unlikely person here that God could ever use, but that's not the case. You are the very person that God wants to use. Here he uses a widow, and she's not even Jewish. And again, this reminds me that God brings his word even to, it doesn't matter what ethnic group that you are from. The word of God comes even to, it crosses all ethnic barriers, because he wants all people to come to him. He wants all people to love him. He wants all people to put their faith and their trust in what Jesus did. And that's what we see. We even see the gospel is spreading here to the non-Jewish people. Now, he went. And notice, as soon as he goes, right? As soon as he gets through the gates, he starts looking. Why? Because he's living his life on message. God never told him the name of the widow. God never even described, here's what she's going to look like, here's what she's going to be doing. You know what he does? He walks through the gates and he just starts looking for any person that looks like they might be a widow. And man, this just jumped out at me this week. It reminds me that God has called us to pray for the one. He has called us to pray daily. God, will you show me one person today that I can demonstrate your love to? And then wherever we go, we should have our eyes wide open looking for if they're there. And you know what? He sees one. He sees a widow, and he takes a risk. It's kind of like you taking a risk with the You Matter cards, right? It's like, oh, is this the one? This might be the one. I don't know. Let's test this out. And look what he does. He says, hey, would you bring me a cup of water? And he waits for the response. It's kind of like, hey, you matter. And then you kind of step back and you wait for the response, right? Notice what happens. She took it. You know, she engaged. She says, and so as she was going to get it, what? Get the cup of water. She like engaged in the conversation. So she goes, he gets a cup of water, but then he's like, oh, let me take it a step further. Hey, you know what? You just don't matter. You matter to God. You matter to our church. You matter to me. And here's what he says. He says to her, hey, bring me a bite of bread. Hey, not just a cup of water, but would you bring me some bread too? now. This leads for very now. Let's see how she responds. Let's see how the conversation goes next. But she said, well, she engaged. And man, she lays out the story, right? First of all, notice this phrase. This is that phrase we talked about last week. 14 times this shows up in 1 and 2 Kings. And it's this idea that they are making a declaration that it is God Yahweh, it is God Jehovah, who really is the Lord God, the real God. And she says, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. I only have a handful of flour, right? And a jar full of oil, a little bit of oil left. I've got enough to make one more loaf of bread. In fact, I'm just collecting the sticks and I'm preparing our last meal for my son and I, and then we're gonna die. Now, can you imagine? I mean, have you engaged in a conversation with somebody and man, it just went like, whoa, it went there. Because God can use something simple like this. And I mean, this conversation goes deep. Look where this goes. Because he had his eyes open, because he engaged. He just didn't show up at the city and wait for a widow to come to him. He started engaging. He started asking. I'm asking you. I wonder who is God calling you to engage. I wonder who, you want to keep to yourself. But what God's calling you to do is to give yourself away. To take a risk, to go out there, to share the gospel with somebody. And notice what happens next. He responds to her in this way. He says, but Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There was all kind of fear in this lady. We see it in her story. She thought this was it for her. And he said, go ahead and you do just what I've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for you, for yourself and for your son. Now let's stop and think about that. I wonder what God is asking you to give to him first. See, what you and I do is we look at our schedules and we think, we don't have any time. We look at our calendar and like there's no time there for what you're asking me to do, God. But God is saying, no, why don't you give to me first, and then the amount of time that I've given you, I'll make sure that you have enough time to do what I've called you to do. Maybe not what you've planned to do, but what I've called you to do, you'll have enough time. Because I've given everybody 24 hours. I've given everybody 7 days in a week. Don't waste your life. This is what God, I'm asking you to consider, what is it that God is calling you to do? You know, we still have, as we, on Super Bowl Sunday, on February the 4th, as we go to that third service, you know, we still have this need of at least 10 more nursery volunteers. We still have this need of around 5 or 6 more children's volunteers. We have this need of more ushers for this room right here. We have a need for more people to help us serve communion once a month. And I know that some of you are thinking, man, there's no way I can do that. I can't get in a room with little kids. You're afraid, right? Yeah. But God said, hey, if you will just serve me first, if you'll just give me a little bit, give me a once a month, give me an hour a week, man, I'm telling you, I'll give you what you need. I'll give you what you need. I struggle with the role that God has called me to do. I really do. And during worship, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It just came upon me that God, if this is what God has called you to do, then here's what I can be promised. If I serve him first, he'll give me what I need to serve him, to do what he has called me to do. And if you would surrender and go to the nursery, he'll give you what you need to deal with the crying babies so that parents can hear and grow in their understanding of who Jesus is. What is it that he's calling you to do? Now, it may not be anything in these four walls. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God is calling you. You already know what he's calling you to do. He's calling you to do something else. But notice what happens here. He says, this is what God says, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends the rain and grows the crops. Now, notice that he says, there's always going to be some in here. He says, there's going to be some in here. He's not saying that you're going to, that all of a sudden, poof, it's going to overflow and that you're going to have one container after another container after. No, that's not what he's saying. He says, there'll be just enough. You'll have just enough. You're going to have just what you need. That's a scary place to live. When I first got into ministry, it was in the year of 95. Because our son Ryan, we have four kids, our son Ryan was an infant. And I remember driving to the church that I was working at, and we were literally broke, literally no money. And I remember Zoe telling me, I just made the last bottle of formula, and we have our last diaper in the diaper bag. That's it. And I knew, and she knew, we had no money to go buy more. And that morning, a first-time guest at the church that I was at, walked up to me, doesn't know me, doesn't know my situation, and says, I just feel like God's telling me and to give you this, and puts in my hand $100. Now, in 1995, $100 when you're broke is like $1,000, right? It's like, oh my gosh. It was like God is saying there's going to be just enough. You were on your way. You thought you were running out. You thought you used the last, but I'm going to give you just enough. And he'll do that with your time. Some of you think you don't have time, but if you'll give your time to God and use it for His honor and for His glory, He'll give you just what you need for what He has called you to accomplish. And that's exactly what happened. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised. Now, I wonder what it is that you think you're running low on. What is it? Maybe it's just emotional health. But God has promised if you will live for His honor and for His glory, He'll give you just enough. Just what you need. I want us to take our connection cards out. And I want us to focus on this first connection, or this first step, where it says, pray that I will focus my life on what I can give away for the sake of His kingdom work and not hold on to it for myself. I need to quit holding on to, and then there's a blank there. And here's my question for all of us in the room this morning. What is it that you're holding on to? What is it that you're scared? You know, for a lot of people, it is your finances, because your finances look like this. You just got a little tiny bit in a little jar. And here, God says, man, if you'll just trust me, if you'll be intentional, back when we were, broke, like zero, like they had no money at all, we were still intentional about any money that came in. And even that $100 that person gave me, man, we made sure that we were intentional about a tithe going back to God. And I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's time. Maybe it is a relationship. Or maybe it is a hurt. But whatever it is, I'm asking you, will you sit before God? And will you ask Him, will you take 60 seconds to sit right here before God and to say, God, what is it that I'm holding on to that I need to let go of this morning? Because on Tuesday when the staff gathers, we want to pray very specifically that you will experience a freedom this week of letting go of whatever it is that you're holding on to, and that you will live a life that is giving away. So I'm asking you just to sit quietly for the next 60 seconds between you and God. Ask God, God, show me, what is it that I need to be writing on this blank, on this connection card? And you don't have to turn. If you don't want us praying over it, that's fine. I'm not doing this so that you'll turn your connection card in. But we do want you to pray. We want to pray over them if you're willing to pray. put that down there. But even if you're not, maybe you just want to hold on to it. And this week you want to remind yourself, I told God I was going to let go of this. So sit before Him for 60 seconds. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew 16. He said, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. What you do and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Some people, some of you may be here trying to just hold on to your own life. You're trying to control the outcome of everything in your life, even the destiny of your soul. Some of you are trying to do that by just being good and working hard. And what God says, you need to give that up. You need to put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ has already done. And that's what He's asking you to do maybe here this morning. That's why maybe that last next step where it says pray that I will give my life to God and trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because maybe for you, that's what you need to do this morning. So I'm asking you, would today be the day that you would entrust your soul to Christ and put your faith and trust in Him? Because what if you end up as wealthy as Jay Paul Getty, but you lose your very own soul in the process? Was it worth it? That's the question that Jesus poses, and it's not. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, we're going to sing this song, and in this song, it's this idea that Jesus will not relent until He has it all. It's so fitting for what we're trying to ask God to do in our lives here this morning. God, will You really have it all? Will You really, I'm asking You, will You really give it all to God this morning? Will You give it to Him? So, Father, I pray, I'm asking Jesus that in all of our lives, that we would ask You to search us, to know us, to God, what is it that You want us to give up, that You want us to give it back to You, You want us to give it away? God, what is it? And then, Jesus, we're asking that we'll live this life of generosity, trusting You first, not living in fear of how we're going to make it all happen. But as we serve You first, knowing that there's always going to be just enough, just what You have planned for us, because You're a faithful God. And so, Jesus, here this morning, we want to give our heart to You. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.